Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We come to celebrate the love of God like the sunlight, like the air we breathe, always with us, always around us and moving through us. Again, good morning and welcome to West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending. We want to extend a particular welcome to you. Those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for folks we don't know to introduce ourselves and express our hope that you'll become a part of this congregation. Of course, one way to do that is to be involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll find a whole host of those ways listed in your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up a few right now. First of all, we had a great day of service yesterday. It was a beautiful day. We had over 100 volunteers. We had 40,000 pounds of sweet potatoes. We bagged about 28,000 pounds of those. The rest went out on pallets. But the important thing is that we followed Jesus' command to feed the hungry. And so folks in this community and folks really across the country will have sweet potatoes, at least, because of the effort of this congregation yesterday. So thanks to all. On your way out of church, stop in Reed Hall. You can learn more about NOAA, Nashville Organized for Action and Hope, and about their first annual banquet. There's a table out there with some folks who will be glad to tell you about NOAA. Also, we have a table where you can purchase our Bedrock Belief T-shirt, which is it contains our first bedrock belief that God loves everyone unconditionally. And you can get those for $10 or order them out there for $10. And believe me, they are conversation starters. For those who are taking part or would like to take part in Brood Theology, the location for that gathering is temporarily changed to Blackstone on West End for this next meeting. Just make note of that. It's at Blackstone on West End. Also, tonight will be the last youth small group until the fall. So they'll take a break through the summer, but those will begin again in the fall. And you may have noticed as you walked in from the parking lot, if you did, that we have a plant sale going on downstairs, and that will continue today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. Lots of gorgeous plants. The proceeds from that go to benefit the preschool ministry, the children's ministry, and the youth ministry of this congregation. So I hope you will stop by, and I hope you will take a few of those home with you. Have you ever been in a group where you felt like you were the one who got left out, who didn't get chosen to play on the team, perhaps got pushed to the side for whatever reason? Or perhaps you were part of a group that pushed someone to the side or didn't choose someone for the team or perhaps left someone out. Well, I've got good news for you. We're gathered here to celebrate a God who does not play favorites.
Good Christians all rejoice and sing. Now is the triumph of our King. To all the world that news we bring. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted.
His glory is above earth and heaven. Praise the Lord.
God's glory shines greater than anything above or below.
Let us offer up praise for God's faithful people. Praise the Lord.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess to God and to one another our failure to love our neighbor. God of mercy, we confess that we have not followed the promptings of the Spirit to welcome and love others you have placed in our midst. We have denied the promises of baptism and cut ourselves off from you. Forgive us. Restore us that we may abide in your love and live out your mercy as we seek to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. We know who God is by the love shown to us in Christ Jesus. We will show others who we are and whose we are by the love poured out by our lives. Thanks be to God. We are forgiven. Amen.
Whoa.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Aaron Jenkins and Caroline Portis Jenkins bring their son, Harlan Scott Jenkins, and Jeremy David Price and Whitney Drawn Price bring their son, Sawyer David Price, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Caroline and Aaron, Whitney and Jeremy, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? So say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? So say, I do. Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? So say, I will. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? So say, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you sat in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these persons who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Okay, Harlan, will you step over here with me? What name is given this child?
Harlan Scott.
Harlan Scott, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you all want to lay hands on him, you may. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
What name is given this child?
Sawyer David.
Sawyer David. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lay hands on you. Sawyer David, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
And if you all want to come with me down to the center.
Will the congregation please stand and face Harlan Scott and Sawyer David? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brothers in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Harlan Scott and Sawyer David to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks
for all that God has already given.
And we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" And then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, and then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. And these six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" And when they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us, come on down. If you'd like to bring a parent or grandparent or a friend, that's perfectly okay. They're welcome too. I think I've told you all before that when I was pretty young, my family moved from Tennessee, where we live, to a place far, far away called Arizona. It was in the middle of my first grade year. Now, I'm old enough that we didn't have kindergarten where I grew up. So I started school in first grade at 5 years old. And so when I had just turned six, my parents moved me from the school I knew, from the place I knew, out to Arizona. I was in a new school, in a new area, with new kids and new teachers. I was a stranger in a strange land. And I was kind of scared. I was kind of nervous about it. Well, because I went in the middle of the year, apparently my teacher had already decided which of her students were smart, and I was not. And she had decided which of her students were good, and I was not. Now, I need to tell you, I wasn't a bad kid, and I did try in school. I really, really tried. But she had already decided who were her favorites, and I was not. It was really, really hard to feel that left out of things. But the next year, in second grade, I barely squeaked through first grade. But second grade, I had a teacher whose name was Gwen Jones. Now, I don't remember my first grade teacher at all, but I remember Miss Jones, and I remember that she seemed to love all of us, and she seemed to think all of us were smart, and she seemed to think all of us were good, even though sometimes we weren't. And she loved every single one of us in her class, and that's what I remember. And that's the way God loves us, just like Gwen Jones loved her students. God loves all of us, and God doesn't have any favorites. Okay? God loves all of us more than we can even begin to imagine. And God loves all the people out there. And God loves all the people at home drinking coffee or reading the newspaper, and all the people who've gone to brunch, and all the people who would never darken a church door, and all the people across the world. And God loves all of us more than we can imagine. Now, in a minute, I'm going to tell another story about a guy who thought it was okay to leave people out until he learned better, until he learned that God doesn't have any favorites. His name is Peter, and as you listen to that story, I bet you'll know exactly what it's about. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for loving us more than we can even begin to imagine. Thank you for loving all your people and all your creation. Thank you for showing us that love through others. And especially thank you for showing us that love through Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. And thank you all for coming down. Well, Peter was in a heap of trouble. He had come back to his home church, and they had discovered that he had been breaking the rules of their church's discipline. He tells the story briefly, but if you look back to chapter 10, you get a fuller retelling of the story where Luke, who is the author of Acts, tells the story from the narrator's point of view. Peter is staying in a town called Joppa. He goes to the roof of the house where he's staying, the house of a man named Simon, who's a tanner. He's praying there, and as he's praying, three times, a big sheet comes down. And in that sheet are cheeseburgers and shrimp and pizza with pork sausage. And a voice says, "Hey, Peter, time to go kill hogs." No, the voice doesn't say that. The voice says, "Take, kill, and eat." And Peter says, "Uh-uh, That's against the Bible. Nothing unclean has ever crossed my lips. And he's telling the truth. He has kept kosher. He has been an observant Jew. He has traveled with a group of observant Jews. And so he's telling the truth. He has not eaten any of those things because it is against the Bible. And then the voice says, do not call unclean what God has called clean. Well, listen, Peter knew enough of the Bible that he knew God had called these foods unclean. And now this voice was calling them clean, and he was confused. About the time that he had had this vision three times, and the voice had said three times, don't call unclean what God has called clean, some men arrived to take him from Joppa up the Via Maris, up the way of the sea, which is still there. You would still travel it from Jaffa to Caesarea Maritima. So he goes all the way up the Mediterranean coast to the house of a soldier of the occupying army, the Roman army, named Cornelius, a Gentile. He travels with his companions all the way up. And when he arrives, we know exactly what he's been thinking about that whole trip up there. Because he tells us. The very first thing he says when he arrives is, as you know, it is against the law of my people for me to be here. He's been thinking, am I going to cross that threshold? You see, Peter is a stranger in a strange land at this point. He has never crossed the threshold into a Gentile's house, which would render him unclean, ritually unclean under the purity system, under the rule of the Bible, under his church's discipline. And yet we know he does cross that threshold. And when he speaks to the people there, all the Gentiles gathered in the household, he starts that sermon by saying, now I understand. God doesn't play favorites. But anyone from any nation who does what is right and stands in awe of God is acceptable. He has just turned his whole religious tradition upside down. His tradition is based on the idea that indeed God does play favorites and that not everyone from any nation who fears God and does what is right is acceptable. And then the most incredible thing happens. The Holy Spirit comes on a bunch of Gentiles. An impossible thing to happen. And yet it happens. And Peter sees it. And then he makes the next step toward uncleanliness, ritual uncleanliness, when he baptizes them. And then he takes another step into uncleanliness and degradation because he stays there, he eats their food, and doesn't call it unclean. And he stays for a while. And this passage you heard says, when word got back that Gentiles had become believers, there were those who criticized Peter. If you can imagine good religious folk criticizing other good religious folk. They criticize him because they know he has violated the discipline. He has not just violated the discipline, he's violated the Torah. And he has rendered himself unclean, and by coming back home, he has rendered them unclean. And the scripture says that he explains it to them. If you noticed, he didn't explain anything. He simply told a story. He told what he had experienced, that he had actually seen with his own eyes the Holy Spirit come on a group of Gentiles. He was only prepared for this incredible happening because he had had a vision and a voice telling him, "Do not call unclean what I have called clean," which applied not only to the food, but apparently for Peter also to the Gentiles. Not everybody agreed. But he said, when the Holy Spirit came and worked through these Gentiles, who was I to stand in the way of God's Spirit? Who was I to hinder God? At first, the folks he tells the story to are silent because he's just told them something unbelievable. He's just told them that it's okay to violate the Bible if God's Spirit is evidently at work in those people who are considered unclean. It's pretty radical. He opens the door a little bit. There will be a council held, a general conference, you might say, the first one ever, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And the decision is made that Gentiles will indeed be let in, and they do not have to become Jewish before they can become followers of Jesus. The very first decision made by a council of the church was to throw open the doors to the unclean. Otherwise, you and I would not be sitting here today. But there's still an issue. Because you see, Paul takes it a step further. Not only does he open the door, he goes out and actively seeks Gentiles to come into the church. I mean, it's okay if they happen to want to wander in, but you don't want to go out and seek them and bring them in. That's why they called him the great heretic. Some good religious folk did. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. You know, you read that story and you think, isn't it great that right off the bat, they settled the question of whether or not God plays favorites, whether or not God shows partiality? Unfortunately, they didn't. We've been arguing about it for 2,000 years, and we still are. Who's in, who's out, who's worthy, who's not? Who is it acceptable to marginalize and who is it not acceptable to marginalize? And that discussion continues and will continue in a couple of weeks at our general conference. Because in the United Methodist Church, we say on the one hand that all people are of sacred worth. All people are deserving of the ministries of the church. And we here at West End believe that. You can buy a t-shirt out there that says, God loves everyone unconditionally, and we believe that. That's one of our bedrock beliefs. And if you wear it, you can believe me, it will generate some interesting conversations. Because I have engaged in a number of conversations wearing that shirt with people behind the counter at the deli, at the grocery store, or people where you go in to pay if you go in at a convenience mart. All kinds of folks see that, and they have not been treated in churches as if God does indeed love everyone unconditionally. And it makes them really interested in why we would believe that. So it would seem that we are following in the footsteps of our general church by saying all people are of sacred worth. The only problem is, since 1972, it's fairly recent if you're as old as I am, we've decided that one group of people are not of such sacred worth, that gay and lesbian folks can attend church. They can receive the sacraments. This table's open to everyone. They and their children can receive baptism. Because you see, if you can answer those questions you just heard, you can be baptized or your child can be baptized here. But what they can't do is take part in non-sacramental ceremonies like getting married, like being ordained. It doesn't matter how many gifts for ministry they may happen to have. It doesn't matter the depth of their call from God. Because you see, our church has decided that there is only one group of people who are set apart, who are not of as sacred worth as everybody else. You may recall George Orwell's allegorical book, Animal Farm. All pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal than others. We kind of take that principle. All people are of sacred worth, but some people are of more sacred worth than others. Then, of course, it's me and my kind that are of the most sacred worth, right? All people are beloved of God, but some people are more beloved than others. What we're doing is we are denying what Peter says, that God does not play favorites. Oh, you can come here. We'll let you serve on committees. We'll let you usher. We'll let you fill bags of potatoes. We'll let you go on mission trips. We'll let you give boatloads of money to the renovation of this building. We'll still let you do that, no matter who you are. But if you're gay or lesbian, don't try to have your service, your wedding here, because the discipline says that even though I, as your pastor, am okay with it, it's prohibited. The discipline says that I cannot do the whole service. I have to get someone else, maybe a pastor you have never met or don't know, to do part of the service. You see, the government can't tell me who I can marry and who I can't, but my church does. We just stood here and I asked the question, will you resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do I ever feel like a hypocrite? Will I resist evil, injustice, and oppression when the church requires it? That's the question, isn't it? So I think this next general conference, we ought to just make honest people of ourselves. Either change the language to say that we no longer put down LGBTQ folks, or to change the language to say, we do not believe that everybody is of sacred worth. It's the only honest way to go, seems to me. Because we don't act like we do. You know, it's interesting. I have a background in theater. And in theater, when you build a character, there are three things that you look at very seriously. One is what that character says, which can be highly deceptive. What others say about that character, which can also be deceptive, and what that character does, which is usually right on target. You can tell what a person values by what they do, more than what they say or what others say about them. What does that say about us and our claim that all people are of sacred worth? You would think after 2,000 years this would be settled, wouldn't you? You would think after what Peter preached, what Paul did, reaching out to folks who were unclean, considered unclean, and welcoming them in, you would think this would be settled, wouldn't you? Oh, my friends, it's far from settled. I grieve for my church. I feel blessed to be in this congregation. But it seems to me it's time just to make honest folk of the United Methodist Church and decide not to speak out of both sides of our mouth, not to let our actions deny the very things we say about what we value. Change one or the other. Either welcome all people and drop the language that excludes anyone. Right now we choose to exclude only one particular group. Drop that language, or simply state openly, we do not consider everyone to be of sacred worth. It's the only honest way to go, it seems to me. It's the only honest way for us to live out what Peter proclaimed, what we believe in this church, what I have been taught and believed all my life, and that is that God loves everyone unconditionally, and that God does not ever play favorites. Mostly, we express our faith through what we do, right? But occasionally, we borrow words to do that as well. And so let me invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 888 in your hymnal. We're going to borrow some words from Corinthians and Colossians. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died
for our sins, was buried on the third day, and appeared first to women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. You can look for their blue name tags. If you're a college student, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and a time of fellowship and faith discussions following our service. You'll meet in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments that you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card, there's a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you find near the center aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know following the service. This morning, we offer our sympathy to Robert and Susan Brown and their family, who are mourning the death of Robert's brother, Thomas A. Brown, who died on April 5th. We also offer our sympathy to William and Mary Liza Bartholomew and their family, who are mourning the death of William's grandfather, Robert E. McNeely, Jr., who died April 19th. The rose on the communion table this morning celebrates the birth of James Wiley Whitworth, who was born on April 11th to Carrie and Tom Whitworth. Whitworth. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this morning. Remind us that you are still moving and working in our world, in our community, in our church, and in our lives. Holy Spirit, we give you thanks that you make no distinction among us when you call us to new life. We give you thanks for the person and work of Jesus Christ, whose inclusive love is offered to everyone, everywhere. What amazing grace, O God. We pray this morning for those who do not feel included, for those who feel like outsiders, for those who are intentionally left out, for those who are made to feel inadequate. May they experience your loving embrace, O God. May they be reminded that your desire is for all people to have life and have it in abundance. And may our church and our community reach out with welcome. We pray, too, for those who make decisions about who is in and who is out, for those who seek to exclude, and for those who are so wounded that they know only to lash out in judgment and cruelty. May all of these experience your redeeming grace, O God. And may we be co-workers with you in seeking justice for all people. God of new life, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May it come for the hungry and homeless. May it come for the exploited and alone. May it come for the lonely and lost. May it come for the weak and weary. May it come for us, for our family and friends. And may it come for our enemies and those we will never meet. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Giving our tithes and offerings is one of the many ways that we can share God's love through the ministries of this church. As grateful recipients of God's love and grace, may we give back to God with joy. I'd like to invite those who are joining our church this morning to come forward. And there are a lot of them. The rest of you may have a seat. If some of you want to come this way, that might leave a little room over there. Yeah, maybe just stand right there. That's great. All right, I'm going to introduce all of these folks to you. We have a wonderful group this morning. I'll start over here. First, we have John Hari. He is a senior construction manager with Celebration Homes, and he's transferring from Blakemore United Methodist Church. Next, we have Carol McSwinney. She is a GED tutor and teacher at the Martha O'Brien Center, and she's transferring from Franklin First United Methodist Church. Then we have Caroline Jenkins. Caroline is married to Aaron, and they have three children, Margot, who's 8, Clayton, who's 6, and Harlan, who was just baptized, is 4. Caroline is a nurse practitioner and administrator for a community health organization. She's transferring from Huntington United Methodist Church in Huntington, Tennessee. Next, we have Tal and Natalie Goldsby, and they have a daughter named Tyner, and she is 3.5 years old. And they have a son named Witt who will be arriving in July. Tal is a managing director at Shoemaker Financial, and Natalie is a stay-at-home mom. They're transferring from Christ UMC in Memphis, Tennessee. Next, we have Anna Margaret and Brad Miller, and they have a son named Conrad who is 5 months old. Brad is a project manager for Ivy Mechanical Company, and Anna Margaret is the communications director for Belmead United Methodist Church. And they're transferring from First United Methodist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Next, we have Ruth Ann Cox. Ruth Ann is an executive assistant for United Way of Metropolitan Nashville. She's transferring from Ellsbury United Methodist Church in Ellsbury, Missouri. Next, we have Tim Foster. Tim is a graduate student in the Department of Spanish and Portuguese at Vanderbilt. He's married to Katie, who's a member of another congregation, and he's transferring from Central United Methodist Church in Oskaloosa, Iowa. Sandy Gregory is next. She is a retired educator currently working as a nanny. She's transferring from Decaturville United Methodist Church in Decaturville, Tennessee. Then we have Margaret and Ben Wade. They have a son named Andrew who is 2 months old. Ben is in sales with Jostens, and Margaret is a teacher at Stoner Creek Elementary School in Wilson County. No, move this way. Jackie York is next. Jackie is in the information technology field, and she's transferring from Brentwood United Methodist Church. Then we have Dwayne Hatch. Dwayne is married to Anna, who's a member of another congregation, and they have a son named Asher, who is 7 months old. Dwayne is a chemistry professor at Belmont University. Then we have Clay Ferguson and Keith McCabe. Clay is an accountant with Viacom, and Keith is the general manager of a hotel. Keith is transferring from Cutler Ridge United Methodist Church in Miami. So I'm going to move over here. For those of you joining a church for the first time or transferring from another denomination, this question is for you. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Now will the congregation please stand and join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, these persons before you are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite you to greet all of these folks. They're going to be in Reed Hall following the service. I'd love for you to welcome them. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
To let you know, at the end of the early service, we had a prayer with the 12 people who will be traveling to Guatemala this coming Saturday to work with the indigenous Mayan people there. That's a long-standing ministry for us, and I hope you'll keep them in your prayers as they go doing God's work and representing this congregation. And now go forth to be the loving light of Christ, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, who does not play favorites, Jesus Christ, who associated with those who were outcast, and the Holy Spirit that allows us and gives us the courage to walk in Christ's way, will be with you this day and forever. Go in peace.